prepared as one of those classes.
Yeah.
We go to where that.
Yes. There's probably some more that's so easy to change. And, just your character. For say. Yeah? Okay. What's yours good?
Myra?
I know this is a silly question that I should know by heart, but what is a quorum approval?
We need at least five.
What?
We need at least five.
Okay, so we have a quorum to get present, so I'm going to call the meeting to order. And the first order of business is the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, citizens of this occasion. I hope we're all citizens. But we're all going to participate anyway as we go forward. Seeing no one here has filed paperwork to do it. Public correspondence is the next thing. And, okay, I received a letter inviting us to an event that happened on the 11th. The Adrian Dell and Carmen Roberts Foundation invited us to participate in the annual Black History Parade and Expo. But that happened on the 11th, so I don't think we can act on that right now. So I'm sorry we received it so late. But okay, the next item is the approval of the minutes for the last meeting. Does anybody have anything that they would like to bring up for correction or anything, or can I have a motion to approve the meetings as presented? Approve the minutes as presented.
A motion.
Second. Okay. We've got a motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Except abstain.
And there's one abstention.
Two. Because I wasn't there.
Okay, there's two abstentions. Three. Okay, three abstentions. But now that's okay. We've got three in favor, three against.
Three against?
Three against. No, three in favor and three abstentions.
Six.
Well, I think we'll tentatively call it approval. And if somebody comes up with a problem with it, we'll review it at the next meeting. I'm sorry, I've never dealt with that before. Okay. The next item is the consent calendar. And the first item on it is the Parks and Recreation and Community Service Quarterly Report. And does anybody want to move that to a separate discussion item? Okay, and that's the only item on there. So, can we have a vote to approve the consent calendar?
We
received a motion by a second. So, we'll go ahead and file that. Oh, all in favor, I'm sorry.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, fine. So, we'll go ahead and take care of that. The next item is presentations. Automated trail user counters at Mount Rubio. And
thank you. So tonight we wanted to share some information with you regarding Mount Rubio and its usage. So we've always heard that there's a lot of people up there at Mount Rubio, and it's very heavily used. It's a great attraction, and it is. And so what we wanted to do is be able to quantify that. So last July, we installed on both entrances, on the 9th Street entrance and over on the Glenwood entrance, we installed counters, electronic counters. Mm-hmm. So as you enter over on the 9th Street side, as you enter the gates, on the left-hand side, there's the metal frame for the gate. There's a black box. And inside there, there's just a little lens. And from there, there's a it has a little beam that is triggered every time someone goes through. So we installed that, and we've been able to track the number of people that go up to the mountain. So we track the total amount, and then for each counter, we divide by two. People go in, they come out, so two crosses of the beams count as one person. So now we've been able to keep track of this, and now we really can share with the community how many people go up to Mount Rubidoux. And as you can see through the chart on the very bottom, we installed it, I think, June 6th. And in July, we see almost 60,000 per the month. August, slightly higher, and begins to tail off a little bit after that. As an average, you'll see that about 300 people per day on the 9th Street side, and then about 1,400 over on Glenwood, people that park at Bryan Body Mineral Park. So about 1,700 as an average per day, and our peak day was 3,709 on September the 5th. And then if you go to the page 15, you'll see there, beginning with June the 4th, 2016, you'll see the totals there. And every line is a day, a separate date. On the far right, you'll see the total for both entrances. Mm-hmm. So during June 2000, or very close to, every day, going all the way through the next page, through August, many of the days were exceeded 2,000. So these sheets just, you can go every single day all the way through December 31st. And you'll see even in the months of December, our totals there were still pretty high, over 1,000. Looked like our lowest week was the week of leading up to right after Thanksgiving. Dropped off from 1,500 down to 500 to 8. So I think people stayed at home after they had all that turkey. But interesting how that drops off. But overall, you can see that for that 6-month period, we had a total with the both gates at 359,000 people. So we're hoping that these measurements will help us in the future when we go for additional grants. We can provide good information as to how many people use the mountain, additional resources for maintenance on the mountain. We have a vehicle that goes up there every day. We have a crew, a staff member that goes up, takes care of all of the garbage, changes out the garbage cans, does graffiti work, and then we do a lot of work on the erosion, a lot of areas that have erosion. But we wanted to share this so we get a good picture of how many people actually use that mountain every day. So it's quite a jewel for the city. Andy, anything else you'd like to add on that?
There's also a bicycle counter, which has been installed at the 9th Street gate. We're working out bugs still. But we'll be able to figure out to count the number of bikes that go up and down too.
Is that kind of differently than the
southern one, is it the lower?
It's in the ground, and it measures, I think it's magnetic, that's how it measures. And it's a radius of 6 feet or so. So it has to be strategically located so that the bikes actually trigger.
Any questions about the mountain or?
Good information.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I just have comments. Do you have any, if there is any plan in a specific idea about the use of the of Mount Rubidoux and how that have to do with the cross area, which is managed by a nonprofit organization? Because from my knowledge, Mount Rubidoux is being used, I think, for three major events, más o menos, which is the 4th of July, the Easter service, and the Virgen de la Guadalupe event. I don't know about any other big event. I don't know if those days in particular were also counted, because this last year, the event of the Virgen de la Guadalupe was triple the amount of people. But I was wondering, taking into consideration all these events that are already happening, are very big, and how that will, if any way that if there is any plans in the future, if there will be any challenge with the owners of the crowds.
Good question, and I'll tell you why it's kind of timely right now. Mm-hmm. So a couple of things. You're right, but the cross is owned by Riverside Lands Conservancy, and they manage that area up there. The counter was installed after the procession.
After.
So these totals are not included. So next year, when we get to April, you'll see that it'll have a big, huge number count for that day, so it'll show that spike. So yes, the other thing with as far as the use of that information, those events that you mentioned are the only ones that are up there. We did have a Pink Gong parade, and it was an event for breast cancer that was at Ryan Bonomino in October, and they had a walk up the mountain. We gave them some requirements so that we wouldn't impact the public too much, and they did a really nice job with that in staggering the groups of people, so not everybody was going together in balls, groups up there. So it was staggered, they did a really nice job. Those are the only other events. We do have an event right now that's been brought to us that there's a request for use of the mountain. It's a biking event, but this kind of information is helpful to us because we know that how many people would be affected by another event up there. So it's really good information so that we can help make those judgments. It does come in handy. We are using that for that purpose right now.
And what about the parking?
Oh, the parking is primarily just at Ryan Bonomino. Mm-hmm. And even though some people do use 9th Street, for instance, I use 9th Street on 9th Street east of Redwood. But even there, it's only resident permit. And the times that I've gone, I've parked over there and it hasn't really been an issue. Sunday when I got back to my car, the parking meter person had just left that area. So, and I looked at it again and it says, yes, it's no parking by restriction or by permit only. And I guess I just thought, the weekends probably wouldn't be an issue.
It's on one side of the street, I think. You can park on one side of the street and not the other?
On 9th Street, and that's what I thought. But then I looked at the signs, and there's it's on both sides.
Did you have a ticket?
I didn't get a ticket, but I don't know if they were... yeah, that's right, they wouldn't have left a ticket. But the person had just come back from looking at one of the vehicles and was driving off. So yeah, parking is a challenge. That's why most people go over to Ryan Bonomino.
Are there any other questions?
Mayor, you know, you're keeping track for maintenance costs and other costs and trying to acquire grants. How often is this, is there going to be a quarterly report that goes to your seventh floor, your city manager, and to show them, you know, just how much it's getting used? I mean, sure they know, but now you have a number.
Right.
That
yes.
Can help you for maintenance costs.
As we begin working on our budget, we will be using these numbers to help us get some additional support for maintenance up there. We've done recently a lot of maintenance on the west side of the mountain. Unfortunately, we've had a lot of erosion there. On the west side, facing the Harupa side, so Andy and his staff, working with the California Conservation Corps, have blocked off a lot of the area up there, and then also created some water retention little basins with sandbags. We've kind of dug in the ground, trying to get that water steered away from where it was currently going down. There's a big scar there. It's a big empty area, and it was aiming right towards the St. Francis Falls. So after we repair that, we want to make sure that the water doesn't go there again. So they're pointing it away from there. So there's a lot of work there that we're doing. Another issue that we have on the mountain is we've had some vandalism in the last month or so. On the northwest side of the mountain there, facing Carlson, we've had somebody that's been carving out words, letters, in the dirt. First it started the word flat earth and Google. They're probably maybe 6 feet by 3 feet. So it was kind of annoying, but now he's gone back after we've seeded that and some of that grew back in. He's gone back and carved out the words flat earth. It's about 25 feet long by about 10 feet wide, each letter, and it's just huge. So I've been working with the police department and to try and get this person to stop. Police have confronted him, so we're still working on trying to get it completely remedied. But we're reseeding and changing the word, so we're turning his letters into figures or into like the word letter F. Going to make it into a box. I think they did that today, make it into a box. And then we're going to continue receding. So we want to make the word flat earth unreadable. So a lot of challenges up there.
That's weird. Is it somebody that's trying to take a picture?
No, I don't think he has. He's at high tech, but these letters are huge.
Can you catch him?
Yes, and we've been working with police, police department. They've gone out there a few times. They were wondering. We've helped make it clear to them that it is vandalism.
Cause I mean, it must take some time to do that.
This guy was up there for must hours.
Hours, yeah.
Right.
Hours.
So it's something we've been working on. I think that's kind of a
Does anybody else have any comments or questions?
I've got a question on the count, the actual, you know, when the beam goes across, does it catch the legs? Does it catch the mid of the body? Where does it catch, you know, roughly?
It's about, I want to say about waist high. Yeah.
So then it'll catch bigger dogs too, if somebody's taking a dog up there?
It'd be a pretty tall dog because it's right about at the doorknob level.
Oh, okay.
Right about that high.
Oh, okay, cool. All right.
You catch my dogs, but that's a whole other story. Andy, I've got a question for you. The bicycle counter, it has magnetic loops in the pavement that senses. Okay. A lot of the newer bicycles, especially the high-tech ones, have aluminum frames. Will it be able to detect them? Just out of curiosity. And then sure. The other thing is a lot of people bring up strollers and wagons. And is it going to count them as bicycles? Which, they're human-powered vehicles, I don't know.
That's
just a couple of questions popped into my mind.
Those are the sort of details we're working out.
Okay.
We do have some counts from them, but we're not certain that the counts are accurately measuring right. Just the bikes,
okay. But
the bikes still would have, I would expect, the gears, metal gears, which would be...
the metal gears and the pad, well, yeah. So I've had bikes where we have the sprockets, the pedal cranks, the pedals, and all of that is aluminum.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, okay.
I don't, like I said, I don't know.
That's just the details we're just trying to figure out, trying to work
yeah.
out.
Well, you can talk to some people at some bicycle shops and see what they're doing now, because with my heart, I haven't been riding bicycles for about 8 years, so the technology's changed. Okay, are there any other comments or questions? Okay, the next item on the agenda is discussion.
I'll make a motion to receive and file.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I think that passed unanimously. So the next thing is discussion. First thing is Todd Brown's absence from the regular meeting on January 9th. Todd did send in an email saying that he was not going to be available.
Make a motion that we make an excuse to absence.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? With no opposition, I consider that unanimous. Amy Perdulo's absence?
Email sent?
What?
Was an email sent? Yes.
Yes, it was.
And I make a motion that we receive it as excused.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? There was no opposition. And the last one is Luz Negron's absence from the regular meeting. And you did send an email.
It was a last minute thing. I think that I left it was the same day. I left a message for Mario, I think. Telephone message. And I sent an email from my telephone.
Correct. Okay.
Okay, again, make a motion to be accepted. It's excused.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, I would like to make a real quick comment. Luce, you sent your email very late. The rules say that there should be, I forget if it's 28 or 48 hours, what?
24
hours notice. But if an emergency happens, you can come back and express that to the commission. We're not going to, but you know what I'm saying? I want everybody to be clear on that. That we're, you know, for routine things, we should try to get 24 hours notice. But there are things happening. And I have absolutely. Okay, the last item is announcement meeting dates and commission requests. And I'm leaving that open. Does anybody have anything? Okay, I've got one announcement to make. Is tomorrow the City Council is voting on the Budget Engagement Commission. People to assign them to that commission. and they are going to deal with how the city allocates the money that's generated from the sales tax increase that most of the people in the city voted for. I voted for it. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. It was passed, and they are having citizen oversight. But personally, I would like to ask everybody here that lives in the city of Riverside to contact your council person and express to them that the people that are worth serving on the commissions and the boards for the are very knowledgeable about the needs of the different entities that they're serving and should be, you know, have input to the commission about how the funds are spent. Because as citizens, we know we're the best informed about what the needs of our particular assignments are. And I would just like to request that from all of the people. Okay?
Our next meeting in March, we'll have a presentation on the Parks Master Plan. That's a project that's coming up. Randy will take us through that next month, and it's a process that we are very excited about. It's taken us a couple of years to get here, but we're really looking forward to sharing that with you, launching that, and getting your involvement throughout this whole process. And we'll get into the details on that, but it's going to be really a good project for us. Also, if there's any other topics any other things that we do in the department that you'd like to hear a report on, please let us know. We do have a list of a couple of things that we would be reporting on, but please let us know. Send an email. And then with that, we're following the sunshine policy. So we have an extra 2 weeks before we have to get the reports in earlier. But please let us know if there's a specific topic that you'd like to hear about.
Right. Okay. I'm going to ask any of you, do you have anything that you'd like to comment on at this time? If there's no further business, I declare the meeting closed. And we will meet again.
Okay. Thank you.